Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to be looking at a very important scripture of John 14, verses 12 and 13. And it basically reads as follows: I go to my Father, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And what this scripture speaks of is the ultimate result or end or goal, if you will say, of all praying. It is that the Father, God Himself, may be glorified in the answers that come in prayer through the Son. It is for this reason that Jesus on His throne of glory will do whatever we ask if we represent Him and pray in His name. Because every answer to prayer that He gives will have this as its object. When there is no way in which the Father is possible to be glorified, He will not answer the prayer, because it's a prayer that is asked amiss. It is asked incorrectly. It is asked in a way that will be sinful for us. And this is how it is that if we really understand our relationship to God in prayer, that it must be one of a reciprocal relationship. We have to be benefiting Him in order for us to be benefited. And this is how all relationships are. I mean, if you really think about it, the highest level of a relationship is where there's a reciprocal. Anything below that is either use or, you know, you're worthless. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. So when we see Jesus on earth, we notice that He makes statements like, I don't seek my own honor, I seek the honor of Him that sends me. And we make this kind of the keynote of His life and what He means to impress upon us about His mission on earth. So when we think of prayer, we need to look at it from the perspective of how Jesus talks about in His high priestly prayer the expressions of Father glorifying the Son, that the Son may glorify you, and how He's glorified Him on earth, so glorify the Son in Himself. And really understand that the ground on which all prayer can be answered is the ground in which Jesus Himself takes up the glory that He has with the Father before He became human. It's in this glorification that He brings God's presence to earth and still glorifies Him in heaven. So when He asked us to pray, He's asking us to continue His work of glory. So when we pray, and if we really want to understand whether we're praying according to the will of God the Father, it's understanding whether or not what we're praying really honestly glorifies God, or if it's just a selfish request that can be ignored because it's all about us. I mean, that's kind of the key point of being able to understand if we really are praying in the name of Jesus and really representing Jesus, whose sole point was to glorify and please God. Because as we agree with Jesus on this one point and make pleasing God as a chief object of our prayer too, that's when our prayers cannot fail but be answered. Jesus makes it very distinct that there's nothing that glorifies the Father more for Him than His doing what we ask. He will not, therefore, let any opportunity slip in answering these prayers. There's no or maybe or something else that God wants to give us but what we're asking for in prayer. But we ourselves also must know that we must be focused on the glory of God and let that be the link between our asking and His doing. Because prayer that truly does want to glorify God will truly prevail and be the answer to prayer, the true knocking, the true seeking, the true asking. Everything is all about God's glory, and we'll get it. Because Jesus is trying to point the sharp two-edged sword that pierces even to dividing of your soul and spirit, and really understanding the thoughts and intents of the heart on this one thing. Do you really seek God's glory, or do you just seek a certain answer that is all about you? Jesus in his prayers on earth, in his intercession in heaven, in his promise to answer all of our prayers, has only one object, the glory of God. Is it the same with us? Are our self-interest and self-will stronger than any other motive in prayer? Or do we have the real longing, conscious desire for God's glory that really does animate our prayers? These are questions we need to ask before we pray, because if we really are praying and we really are asking, we need to know if we're asking incorrectly, if we're asking amiss, if we're asking to consume it upon our lust, as James is trying to warn us in James 4, verse 3, or if we really, truly are praying and asking for the glory of God. Because if we do ask for the glory of God, God hears us and he will answer our prayers. The believer does not at times understand the connection between the motive of prayer and the answer of prayer. This is why there are times where we do not understand delay or the unwillingness of God to answer our prayers. And it's an understanding that our prayers must be a desire for the glory of God and not something that we arouse or present to the Lord only when we prepare ourselves to pray, that we really get into an understanding that prayer is something about our whole entire life. It's about everything that we are that is truly surrendered to God's glory, so that when we do pray, we're praying for that particular glory of God in our lives to be manifested. Because the commandments of God are simply this: do all to the glory of God, ask all to the glory of God. These are twin commands that are inseparable. Obedience is the secret grace for answer to prayer. When your life is truly yielded to the glory of God, your Father, as a condition of how you live, your prayers will be the kind of prayers that Jesus can answer, because they are that the Father may be glorified. This demand is a connection with is connected with prevailing prayer, because it is something that shows how right and natural our prayers can be when our lives are truly submitted to God. There is nothing more glorious to the Lord, there is no glory except what he can give his creatures, than to really show the connection between the glory that he gives to his Father as a representative of us on earth and in heaven. For what the Son of Man did by giving himself entirely, his entire life, to glorify his heavenly Father, there is nothing more than the simple duty that each one of his redeemed ones must do, but that is not about the glory of God, his our Father. Because when we do that, we will share in the reward of Christ himself, because Christ himself gives himself completely to the glory of God the Father, and the Father will crown him with that glory and honor that will also be crowned with us if we too go in and really understand what he wills and seek that for our lives. Because God's glory should be our only aim. We cannot attain it by any effort of our own, but only by being a branch on the vine in Jesus Christ, by truly being what he wants us to be at all times in our life. This is where the power of being in spirit and in truth really does take hold of our lives. The discovery of ourselves is something that can truly usurp the place of God and really become a point of contention that hinders our prayers. So we need to deny ourselves of any self-seeking or self-trusting, because this is essential to us really praying correctly. And it's something that we need to find in the Lord Jesus Christ himself as a branch on the vine, and truly get all self-glorifying out of our lives, so that we can truly give ourselves to glorifying God through a life that is in truth and in spirit, as he told the woman at the well when he talked about the spiritual worshipers being those who worship in spirit and in truth. Because as Jesus' presence comes down to dwell and reign in our hearts, it is the Jesus who longs for the glory of God the Father in heaven that truly hears our prayer. And this is the Jesus that teaches us to live so that we too can pray for the glory of God. There is no other motive or other power that can urge us to not be slothful in yielding ourselves to the work of Christ than really understanding that we must be working for the glory of God. We need to let our faith learn how to get before Him in adoring worship and ascribe to Him alone the true fullness of all the kingdom, all the power, and all the glory that we magnify Him with, as we do in the Mass when we do the Our Father and we have the brief refrain from the priest before we say, and all power, glory, and honor is yours forever and ever. Because it's only until we're stirred to truly be focused on what glorifies God that then we see how the Lord Jesus truly intensely desires to give us the answers to our prayers, to not refuse us who seek and ask anything because we're asking for the glory of our eternal Father. And when there is but little that can be answered in prayer, it's because there's little about our prayers that truly glorify God. So it is our duty to live and pray so that our prayer can be answered and truly glorify God our Father. It is for the sake of God's glory that we must learn to pray in order to pray well. This is very humbling to a lot of people, and it's something that a lot miss when they're earnestly desiring prayer, because they don't really understand how their prayer can truly be a yearning for God's glory in each of these matters. And because of this, it's no wonder that there's so many unanswered prayers among us. Because here we have the secret. If God is not glorified in what we're praying for, what is the purpose that we are trying to pray for at all? Because we don't have Him as the object. We don't have Him as the proof of what it is we're going to be receiving an answer to prayer. What we ask for in a prayer of faith must be something that is about the glory of God our Father in order to truly be a prayer of faith. Because we want to remove mountains. We want to have miracles happen. But those miracles can only happen when we are truly lifting up God in a way that our lives can truly testify to Him. And it's without this connection between really wanting to glorify God and not really just have a life of ease of our own, that prayer truly becomes a prayer of faith. Because how can you believe and receive the glory of another if you're not seeking that glory in your prayer life, in your own life? Because all seeking of our own glory makes faith impossible. The dense, intense and incredibly submissive humility that self-sacrifice is all about is a self-sacrifice that gives up its own glory for the glory of God alone, that truly awakens the soul with a spiritual susceptibility to the divine. That is what faith truly is. The surrender to God and to seek His glory and the expectation that He will show His glory in hearing us are based on one simple fact, that we seek the glory of God above all things and want to see it as the real reason why we have answers to our prayer, because we're seeking to glorify Him and Him alone. We're not seeking something that is for me and mine. We're seeking something for Him. That's why when the friend comes at midnight and he's told, hey, I'm with my children, I'm not going to give it, he stays there and keeps knocking, because the friend is able to show himself as a true friend by giving him all that he needs so that he can take care of that other person that's in his house. It's that intercessory blessing. This is where God comes down to us, and He really asked us, do you really want this mountain to be removed? Do you want this mountain to be removed so that you can truly have a deeper relationship with me? Or is it just merely so that you have the Powerball one and you can live a nice life of ease? The true motives of our heart come out in prayer. So how do we attain it? How do we begin to get to this point to where we're really focused on the glory of God? It begins with really understanding whether or not the glory of God is something that is an all-absorbing passion of our lives. How little are our lives filled with true prayer because we don't really seek God and everything that He has alone. How little are we who have lived in the likeness of the Son and truly have sympathy with Him because we do not seek God and His glory alone. We need to take time to really understand through the Holy Spirit's revelation to us how we have sinned in not glorifying God in our lives, how we have really robbed Him of that place that He's supposed to have in our hearts, that we've really placed idols in the way of who we are trying to be in Christ. Because the true knowledge and confession of this sin is a sure path of deliverance and really getting into what prayer and true Christianity as a relationship, not as a religion, is all about. We look to Jesus because we see in Him how through His death we can glorify God. In His death, He glorified His Father, because by dying and being dead to self and living to God, Jesus Christ was able to save each one of us. And therefore, by dying and being dead to self and living to God, each one of us can glorify God Himself, because our death to self is something that brings about the life that really glorifies God and is what Jesus gives to us and teaches to us who truly trust Him for it and truly approach Him as branches on a vine. We should let nothing else but this, the desire and decision to live only for the glory of God the Father, as Jesus Christ did, be our main focus in life. The acceptance of Christ and His life should be the strengthening work for us in truly being people who joyfully seek and live for the glory of God alone, because that's the life that Christ lives in us. This is the fullness of Galatians 2:20, where I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But not I, Christ lives in me, because the life that I now live, I live by His faith, the faith of someone who died and gave Himself for me, because this is really what it's all about. Jesus stands as the certainty of our being able to live in this way. The Holy Spirit is given to us, waiting to make this life of truly glorifying God our experience, and it's something that will only happen if we truly trust and let Him work in us and make this grace available to us every day and every moment of every day. So let us not hold ourselves back through unbelief, but confidently find this one watchword when it comes to how we live and how we pray. Do all for the glory of God. For our Father accepts the will and the sacrifice that is pleasing to Him. The Holy Spirit Himself will seal within us the consciousness that we need to have about how to live for God and His glory alone. This will give us the quiet peace and power that will be the center point of all of our prayers, for we'll know that we, through His grace, are perfectly aligned with His will and in harmony with all that He wants to promise us and give us as a result of prayer, because in every prayer, the Father wants to be glorified in His children, in the Son, Jesus Christ. With our entire being, consciously yield to the inspiration of the Word and Spirit, our desires will no longer be ours, but His, with the chief end, the glory of God, our Father. With the increasing liberty that we'll find in this kind of prayer, we'll be able to say, Father, we know that what we ask is only for Your glory. The condition for the answer to prayer, instead of being something of a mountain that we cannot climb, will become something of a deeper relationship that we can have with God, something of a greater confidence that we know that we will be heard, because we see that prayer has no higher beauty or blessedness than this, to truly be something that glorifies our Heavenly Father. And it's in this understanding of the precious privilege of prayer that we truly find the blessed union that we have with God as a branch on a vine through the blessed Son, and the wonderful partnership that He proposes to us in prayer, that if we ask, He will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And to this we pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, I come again to You, and through this lesson I ask You to help me see how truly and deeply I very little know how to pray and do it in the right way. Each of these lessons that I have taken in this school of prayer with you inspires me to hope that you are going to teach me even more and show me what prayer ought to be and how I ought to really pray. O Lord, I look with you with courage. Courage to you who is a great intercessor, who prays and hears all prayer, and who only wants the Father to be glorified. For you, by living this kind of life, can teach me also to live and to pray for the glory of God alone. To this end, I yield myself to you, and I ask that I would be nothing. I give up myself to death as already crucified with you, because that's what glorifies your heavenly Father. Through the Spirit, all the workings of myself are to be mortified and considered dead. Your life and your love of the Father are something that needs to take full possession of me, and I accept that right here and now. I accept the new longing that begins to fill my soul, so that every day, at every hour, in every prayer, that the glory of God, my Father, may be everything to me. Lord, I am in your school to learn this. Please teach it to me. God of glory, Father of glory, my God and my Father, accept the desire of this child, whom you see, seeks only your glory alone, and wants to find it as something worth living for. O Lord God, please show me your glory. Let it overshadow me by your grace, and let it fill the temple of my heart, so that I may dwell in it and find in it the true revelation of Jesus Christ in my life. Fulfill in me your own good pleasure, and therefore your child will find the glory that truly comes from seeking the glory of God my Father alone. Amen. Now, if you'll experience this in your prayer life, you'll truly begin to be blessed and experience the full blessings of answer to prayer.